right. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to The Exchange. This is Cheryl Castile. My guests in the studio today, Papa Puff Nazat and Matt Thornton, are a duo, a musical duo. Some people in the area do know them from playing a pretty tight rhythm section with the Mercy Brothers, but they have played music together for years and are kind of going into another phase of their musical relationship now here back in Louisiana. So welcome, the two of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
And you're doing a return visit here to KRVS after about 12 years or so.
Many, many years.
Do you remember that, Cecil? Do you remember that you interviewed these guys like 12 years ago or so?
The Bodie Band back in the day.
It was about 14. I'm thinking it's like more than like 14 years.
Very different studio now, by the way.
Oh, that's
you guys
right.
Are top notch.
Isn't it wonderful? It was a long time coming, but
it's awesome.
A beautiful place. So let's go to get your connections to this area. You started life where, Papa?
I started life in Eunice, Louisiana.
Ah.
I go all the
You're
way.
Saint
I'm
boy.
Cajun. My mom was a Swallow. Her mom was an Ardouin.
Yeah.
Her mom was a Lahe. We go all the way back.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then how about you, Matt?
I grew up in Wyoming.
What town in Wyoming?
It's a town called Rawlins, Wyoming. It's right in the middle of the...
Wyoming's a beautiful state.
It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah.
And I grew up in the... It's actually the Connell Divide Basin. The Connell Divide runs through Wyoming and then
yeah.
and it kind of splits down at the bottom and then goes into Colorado and forms a Connell Divide Basin right there. Right at the bottom of the state on I-80 is a town called Rawlins.
And that's
right in the middle.
Ah,
and that's where
okay.
I'm from. It's about 7,000 people there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so before we go back to do a little bit more history on the two of you, how did the two of you, though, hook up? We've got a Wyoming guy.
It's funny. We actually got together due to some Cajuns living in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Right.
I was playing with this guy, Jason Calada and Jacques Fournet. Both Lafayette boys that were living in Fort Collins.
Yeah.
And Jason Calada's wife, Erin Smith was her maiden name, was working at a hotel in Boulder.
Right.
And we were just jamming one day, and she goes, "You got to meet this guy, this crazy guy that works with me. He just walks around singing all day. Y'all should get him here."
This
and come
is about
play.
How many years ago?
It's 15 years, over 15
over,
years now.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
So Matt came over one day, and I think we had four or five songs the first day, and
that was
have been motivated ever since. I mean, we would actually get together. We were all in the restaurant business, so we didn't go in until 11:30, noon every day.
Yeah.
And we would actually meet at 8 a.m. every morning and rehearse.
Wow.
And that was the beginning of the Bodie Band, which evolved into many other groups.
After the Bodie Band, it then evolved into a band called Motorhome. And then Motorhome evolved into Thornton and the Thoroughbreds. And that's
Thornton and the Thoroughbreds.
So that's why I came here, and I was Thornton and the Thoroughbreds for a little while, and we decided to change it then.
Well, now, Papa,
were you
involved in Thornton and the Thoroughbreds?
I was at the beginning. We had just split off a Motorhome and started Thornton and the Thoroughbreds. For about 3 or 4 months, we kind of got some new tunes written, and then I kind of abruptly had to move home for other reasons, but I moved back to Louisiana, and a year later, Matt called me and said, "Hey, man, I'm..."
It was time to go.
His wife had never been to Louisiana, packed up his one-year-old, and they came here sight unseen. He's been several times with me.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's been to Pointe aux Chênes. I mean, he knows Louisiana in ways that locals don't know Louisiana.
Yeah.
So.
But that's pretty gutsy on her part. For never
She's a gutsy girl. She's pretty,
pretty
awesome.
Awesome girl.
Yeah, that's
she's
good.
She's pretty cool.
Well, now let's take a look at what you both do. You are a percussionist. You do drums.
I do. I play rhythms.
Did that start as a kid for you?
8 years old.
Ah, how'd drums come into your life?
By default. We had six kids in the neighborhood, all in the same class, same school, and we were, I mean, if you think about that, we had all day to plan our attack of whatever we were going to do that afternoon, and every week we would come up with something new, so we decided we were going to do a band when we were 8 years
old.
And I didn't speak up fast enough, and by default was handed drums.
Yeah.
And I was the only one that actually I started playing on pillows with a pair of sticks because that's all we could afford at the time. And no one else ever learned an instrument.
What were you listening to at 8 years old?
Man, I was, like, you know, I had two older brothers, so I had great influences, of course. I mean, that was like Toys in the Attic by Aerosmith.
Yeah, yeah.
Kansas, Point of No Return, Boston, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
More than a feeling.
Well, and of course, you know, I was really.
See, I remember when those all came
I was
out.
Really into the New Orleans sounds more than probably the Cajun Zydeco sounds because, you know, the second line mambo stuff is much more rhythmically cool.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. So. And that's kind of how that all evolved.
Well, did you start playing like in a school band or?
I had one lesson, and the guy told me I had a lesson at 38 years old, and the guy said, "You know what? I think you should just play because I mean, he threw me all the rudiments.
Better than just not play.
Yeah, yes. you should hang up the
yeah.
sticks.
Well, no, he threw out all the patterns and rudiments, and I could. Pretty much do them all. He's like, you know what? At this point, just go do
just
what you do.
Keep doing what you
I mean,
do.
I was always already a professional for 15 years at that point. So.
Yeah. And any other instruments?
I mean, being in bands since, you know, eighth grade was my first management and band. I mean, I could pick up a guitar and play, you know, three chords, which pretty much is everything in the Eagles songbook. you know, I could sit on the piano and play us, you know, some little things, but I don't play anything else.
Yeah. That's your main deal.
Yeah. No, you know, drummers are cool.
Yeah.
I wouldn't lose my coolness playing some other instrument.
Right.
you heard it here first. That's it. How about you, Matt? When music come into your life?
Oh, wow.
As a player.
I got my first guitar when I was, I want to say, 16. And the thing is, I always wanted drums.
Ah.
I wanted to be a drummer all the time.
Because you knew, just like what he said.
Drummers are cool.
Right.
Drummers are way cooler. I always wanted to be a drummer. And my old man, I remember my old man, "Dad, give me some drums. I want some drums." And my old man, no way was he going to let me have some drums, you know, in the house. So I got a guitar when I was like 16, and it bit me, you know. I haven't been able to.
Why did you want to get a guitar? Why did you want to play music? Where did that influence come from? Do you remember as a kid?
You know, I don't. And I growing up in Wyoming and in the, you know, where we were in Wyoming, and it's kind of people here say the middle of nowhere. You know, people are like, oh yeah, it's out in the country in the middle of nowhere. Well, it's like 5 minutes away from Lafayette. You know.
Yeah.
I grew up actually in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing else for – I mean the
like
closest –
Like 3 hours from the nearest.
Yeah, you're – I mean our town had 7,000 people in it and the next town was 100 miles away.
Yeah.
Rollins has a prison and a train yard.
And, I mean, yeah.
Is that an oil area? Is that a
– There's natural gas. Train – my old man worked on the – he was an engineer for the railroad.
Got it. Okay.
And my mom worked at the hospital. So.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, and so like I remember just the radio wasn't good, you know. Radio was not – there wasn't very much of it. If you could get a radio station, there wasn't much of it. And I remember we would travel because you couldn't buy – when I was a kid, you couldn't buy school – I couldn't get pants. You can't buy pants in Rollins, you know, or like you know, so your school clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we would have to go to Laramie, Wyoming, it's 100 miles away.
Sure.
And there was a record store there, and I remember going there when I was a little kid, and it was called Top Notch Records, and there was this old hippie dude in the record store, and as a little kid, I would go in there and buy whatever I could, and at that point too in Wyoming, like a lot of country music people, and it's the Nashville country sound or whatever, you know. So it's like the really washed out, like, you know, Garth Brooks, that kind of, that kind of stuff that, like, I hated it. I really, really hated it. I couldn't deal with it.
Yeah.
Hey, but so, what was your first record your dad ever gave you?
Yeah. So then going to this record store, and I'd pick out all this stuff, and I'd come home and I'd listen to it. And that was, and the cool thing about it was the hippie guy that I wish I knew his name. I don't know his name, but he owned the record store.
Mine was Tim.
And I don't know his name.
Think about people of a certain generation, and as you're telling that story, I'm sure there's a lot of people that right away thought back to those record stores.
Oh, it was amazing. And the thing about it, that, and I went to college. I wound up going to college in Wyoming, and so I had a relationship with this guy for that long.
Yeah.
And he knew my name, and I don't know his name. I can't think of his name. But like he was the kind of guy, like, you would go there. And I would buy a record, and he'd be like, "Oh, you're listening to this, man. Well, check this out. Check this out. You got to come see this. Come see this. You like this? Oh, you like that? Here, check this out." You know. And it was an amazing, like, that was my first, like, real musical experience. And I remember
that's a lost art.
So what did your dad give you as the first record?
Like, so I remember sitting in my room, and I had like a little brown Fisher Price record player, and I'd listen to records on it, and I was. You know, I don't even remember what I was listening to. And I was like, I was just listening to something. My dad walked in. He was like, what are you listening to? And I was like, well, yeah, it's just, you know, this. I handed him the record or whatever, you know. And he's like, well, if you're going to be listening to that, you might as well listen to this. And he handed me the next thing he brought me, Cheek Your Booty by Frank Zappa.
And that was his first
and I was
musical.
Like, wow. I was like, okay. So then I was listening to that, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is really
where do you
cool.
go from there? You
where
know?
Do you go dance?
Right. This is really awesome. And so that's the two. My parents never played music. They never, like, I don't even think we had a stereo in the house that wasn't mine,
yeah.
you know? And so for him to bring me that
what
was like,
what a great selection.
Wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And then, like, so, I mean, that was kind of the thing. And, like, I think music has always been one of those things that was mine. It was something that was my own.
Yeah.
And nobody really cared about it. You know, I was an artist in high school, and I went to college for art.
Visual art.
For a visual art degree. And
what was your focus with that?
Oil painting and pencil drawing.
Okay.
So, and then that was kind of what I was supposed to do. That was what I was always pushed to do. And the music thing was always just something that I did on my own. And nobody even cared about it. You know,
yeah.
Nobody really cared about it. Nobody was like, yeah, do that. That's good, you know? So it's really and now it's kind of become the opposite, where I do kind of I do this and I love it, and it's what I've always wanted to do. But then I do the visual art stuff kind of on the side.
What instruments do you play?
I play guitar and bass. I play the bass in the Mercy Brothers.
Okay, yeah.
And after 20 years of not playing, yeah, I kind of threw him in that one.
Right,
so.
And the first band I ever played in, I played bass.
Yeah.
And it was because...
And what was the name of that band?
It was in Wyoming.
Yellow Snow?
Yeah. And they didn't have... And I played the bass by default because there was...
He's a
you know,
winter guy.
There wasn't anybody else to play the bass.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, hey, you play the bass. All right, I'll play the bass.
did singing start back? When did singing come in for you? Because that's your other
right
instrument.
Away. Actually, yeah. Like, right away I started singing and writing songs from the very beginning. And now they're not the best songs. Those first ones weren't the best ones.
Yeah.
They weren't the best at all. But I was writing them from the very beginning. And from the very time I picked up a guitar, because there wasn't anybody I didn't have lessons or anything. So I was always just, you know, I would do the whole put the tape in, rewind, play, put the tape in, rewind, play. What's he playing? How's he doing that? You know?
Yeah.
That whole thing. And so I learned that way. And I got to the point to where it was like, well, if it takes me hours to figure this out because I have to rewind it, play it, stop it, rewind it, play it, stop it. And I got to the point where I was like, well, I could write my own song in the time that it takes me to do trying to learn this other guy's song, may be. So that started right away. I mean, I started as soon as I got a guitar in my hand, I wrote my first song the first day. And it wasn't very good. I remember it. And it's as I've grown, my songwriting has gotten better.
Well, we're going to you guys, as we're going through who the two of you are, we're going to play some cuts from
excellent.
From a CD that will be out at some point.
Well, let's explain a little bit of these cuts. First of all, we weren't ready to quite bring this band out. Cheryl, you're kind of throwing us out there. So here we are. When Matt moved here, I was playing with Chubby Carrier on the road for a couple of years, and Matt called and said, hey, we're coming in. And so he showed up, and literally that week he showed up, and we started tracking in my little home studio. And of course, being out with Chubby and you know, reconnecting with all my musical friends around here.
You guys, you're on the road a lot when you're
I did 438 shows in 20 months with Chubby.
Wow.
And that wasn't like in Bro Bridge. That was like, you know, all over the world. Okay. So we immediately started tracking new tunes. Matt is by the time you finish a record, he has another 12 songs that's better than the 12 you just finished. Mm. And it's been like that for 15 years.
Yeah.
Not to say that the first tracks we did weren't good. That's how good it is. Yeah. It's getting better as it goes. So
thank you, Dave.
So we started getting all these great players. Just, hey, man, I would let them hear what we're doing. And like, you know, Corey Duplichet from Tab Benoit. And he was with Chubby for 13 years.
Is that where you met Corey? Playing with Chubby?
Yeah, well, you know, we talked music a lot, and we would do a lot of shows with Tab. We did Blues Cruise with Tab. We did Blues Cruise with a lot of great guys. But
I remember the first time I met Corey Duplichet. It was pretty awesome. I was the kid. You know, there's always the guy, and they were playing Downtown Alive.
I sent you to drop off a track.
Dave's like, you got to go bring him this CD. I'm like, okay, I got to go meet some guy. So I'm walking backstage at Downtown Alive. I'm like, is Corey Duplichet around? I'm the kid. I'm the weird guy in the back that's like, hey, here's my CD. Listen to this. But it worked, and like he was a great guy, and has become a great friend of mine now. You know. So, but it was kind of our first thing was kind of weird.
But we've got Corey on the majority of the tracks. We got Chris French from Roddy Romero and the Hub City All Stars on some upright tracks. We have Bo Thomas, the phenomenal, now Louisiana State champion fiddler. We have Earl Sally, Washboard Sally, on the first track we'll do. Chris Stafford came in and did some tracks with us. We have Justin Lewis.
What's he playing?
He did a guitar track, which I don't think we even did that, finished up that song. But he did a... We have an interlude in one of our tunes that just goes to a straight-up Cajun waltz.
Yeah.
So Chris came in and laid fiddle and accordion on it.
Nice.
And then we have Justin Lewis has been a brother in this whole process.
Right.
A great.
Who's Justin Lewis?
Justin Lewis is one of the baddest, what we call chicken picker telly guitar players. He plays with Charlie Rivers, the great country guy, and also Joel Sonnier band.
Yeah.
What a phenomenal thing to have these.
How'd you meet him?
What's that?
How'd you meet him?
I met him doing a show with, we did our Grammy Award show with Joel Sonnier at the Delta Grand in Opelousas.
Oh, yeah.
And we had just started tracking these things. I had it in my car. And I was sitting there talking to Justin's wife, which was a beautiful blonde and had no idea that was Justin's wife. So we started talking about Matt and I's little project, you know. Beyond the Chubby thing.
You're telling her about drummers being
exactly.
So anyway, moving on from that. later on that evening, you know, of course I'd met Justin and we both appreciated each other's playing. And he came up and he was like, you know, I'd like to hear more about what you guys are doing. And I happened to have, I just burnt a few of the rough tracks we had. So I sent him home with it, and like 8 o'clock the next morning, which, you know, is neither one of our times as musicians, he was calling me already, like, dude, I want to get on this.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's been a really cool experience.
Oh, yeah.
And then we also have on one of them.
We have Johnny Hickman
from
Cracker.
The band Cracker.
From the great band. He's doing a harmonica track.
He actually lives in Loveland, Colorado.
Oh, so you knew him from when you became, were living
back. And he became a friend of mine through, you know, the musician
through the years
system there.
And
I we went back to actually mix some of this stuff in Colorado and get a couple of my friends that are in Colorado still that
some tracks
to play some extra tracks. And I called him, and he came and did a harmonica track on.
Oh, fabulous! On it.
So that's pretty cool.
So the first track we have is Cow, which just to let everyone know, these are still working. We were not. Not prepared
not,
to come put this out.
They're not totally
but,
mixed out now yet. But,
but today everybody's going to get close. A little sneak peek of what is to come.
Yeah.
This is just little mine teasers. And Matt's mixes sitting in my living room. Yeah. So, yeah.
So let's listen to the first track, Cecil. This is Cow. That was Cow, and that was Matt Thornton and Papa Puff Nizat, better known as Double Wide. If you're just joining us, this is The Exchange on KRVS 88.7 FM or on the web at krvs.org. Please check out the website, all kinds of things you can find on there, from news to if you need to listen to a show again or you missed it if you're at work, check out the podcast. Great place, too, to see what's going on in the area. And please help support the station. We are listener-supported. There's a place you can find out about that, too, on the website. You guys, that was great.
Thank you.
You need to be out doing that live.
We're working on it.
We're busy.
You know, the one thing, and Matt, that was you singing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great I don't know if animated is the word, but it sounds live when you're listening. You know how you just think, okay, that was a live performance versus
good.
That's a great voice.
He can't fake it. I've learned that. He cannot fake
it. I try to fake it, and it sounds fake.
Yeah.
I have to do And that's something too, like when I'm doing – when I track vocals, I have to do the whole thing or it's all or none or, you know, it doesn't work. You know, I can't go in and be like, all right, do this little verse over again or do this little piece.
Yeah.
I can't do it, you know.
Do you write, Papa?
I don't need to. I'm his brother. I've never needed to do anything but play tracks behind him. So
yeah, but you're the organizer promoter.
Yeah,
you're
I've been the business wheel to Matt's creative wheel, kind of.
Yeah,
and it's been nice. It's been a good.
We're a good team.
Yeah.
Is that the style of the song that we just heard? Is
nothing
that
like the rest of them?
Okay, but what about what you've written in the past?
Now,
like in the years coming to this,
We can get to that. There's some of the other stuff is something I've written in the past, and this I actually wrote in Colorado, and it started really as a very country-esque style of song.
Yeah,
and then when I came here,
you tracked it as a country song,
and I tracked it even as a country song, and I came here and. Corey and Dave put the drums and the bass on it after I tracked like an acoustic guitar on the vocals.
Which is still the track that's on here was straight. If you took that track and took the rhythm section out of it, it would be straight country. He'd never changed. It's still the same track.
Yeah.
But so, I went in and laid – I was playing Zydeco and I kept saying, man, there's this Zydeco thing. So I laid my drums and Corey came in
and played the bass and it just kind of turned, it melded into that. And that, like, as a songwriter or whatever, sometimes there's a point to where you have to be like, okay, don't do that. Like, you need to do it like this. You know what I'm saying? So there's certain times where the vision of the song needs to be done.
Yeah.
And then there's certain times where you have to let it go, you know, and let it be what it's going to be. And this is one of those instances where it was like, okay, look, I've washed my hands of it. And then this, it came out better than I would have ever, you know.
See, no, that's a good thing to learn.
You know,
that sometimes what you do, you just kind of step back.
Step back and let if you have the right players, it's going to turn out right. But on the same token, on the same side of the coin, there is those instances where you have to be like, no, this is what I need to do. This is what needs to happen.
Yeah. And finding that balance.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You, how have the two of you worked that out in terms of, because I would assume that Papa, that you do throw in your thoughts, your ideas on...
Well, we know each other so... Like, first of all, I knew that if I laid that track down, and he wasn't even there when I was laying by myself, I knew that if he didn't like it, we could always change it. But we've known each other. We've done this for so long together. We kind of...
And even when I bring... And even now when I bring a new song or whatever, I really don't... Like, we have such a good... thing going.
Because not a lot of people find that.
We've got over 15 years. I mean, usually when you get into people that have that long experience playing together, they're either brothers or, you know, old dudes that have been playing a long time together. So,
yeah.
And just like when I got Mark Moe and those guys and the Mercy Brothers, when I joined as the drummer, they were looking at getting a full-time bass player, and I always throw Matt up, and he hadn't played bass in 20 years, and we're so locked in, we know what we're, I mean, he knows when I'm going to do something, I know when he's doing something, so it's a great value when you're playing music, for sure.
Yeah, it sure is. So.
And that's the thing, I never have to be, like, scared of, like, oh... Is he going to do this or where is he going to, you know, you just know.
Matt is the only songwriter I've ever met that doesn't need a life experience or any experience whatsoever. He could hear a word and write. Well, I remember in Fort Collins getting home and he's sitting on the front porch and he's like, hey, I just wrote this great song. And I was like, cool. He plays it. And the song is going back to Nashville. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, when'd you go to Nashville? I saw a commercial today, or, you know, whatever. He has a dog, Evangeline, which was my dog's name. He heard me probably screaming at that Catahoula that was, you know, and immediately wrote this really amazing tune, Evangeline. So
yeah, so through your history, I know recently, and I had to miss it, but at the recent Hoot Night, the two of you just did. You did a duo then.
We did.
Right.
Have you done that type of performance
before?
We've been working on it the last couple. We've done one show where we did like a. It was an actual show where
at
the Feed and Seed. It was a duo show, and then that was the first time. I mean, I've never ever thought of doing like a duo like type thing.
Yeah.
But that was the first time we ever did it, and it made me realize that if the song is good enough and the song holds up on it, if the song's good enough and it holds up on its own, you really don't need all the other people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, if you do a duo like we're doing now and we can always add another person. And it's always just going to be – that's going to be the extra, you know, that's the
lanyap.
That's the
very good Louisiana. Yeah, right. Very good.
I still remember that's some good. Of it.
It's the jelly inside the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, it's the extra like goodness that you're gonna get. And so, I think if the song holds up good enough, it's good. You don't miss it. You know
that's
what I'm
right.
saying. And I started doing a lot of different stuff with my guitar, playing two amps to make a bigger sound.
Two amps being a guitar amp and a bass amp.
Okay. I split my signal through a guitar amp and a bass amp. And it adds, you know, it adds a lot of sound so you don't miss much.
And it allows me to open up. Like my kick pattern changes because there's no bass. So I have to, by running the split rig that he does, there's just a lot of low-end rumble. But there's no dynamic notes per se, like, you know, for a bass. So I'm allowed to kind of get that kick going a little bit differently than I would play if there was a bass player.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Can you pick out another one? I don't know if you just want to go in order, but something where you talked about has a little bit different sound than...
What's the...
I think Out In It would be a cool one.
Yeah, song number three, I guess, Out In It.
So can we put on a track? Tell us about that song.
This I wrote in Colorado, and these are some of the guys actually in Colorado. These are the players on this are Adam Bodine, Jason Larson, Mike McGraw, and some guys from – they're all from Colorado. And we recorded it there. I wrote the song. I had just came back from Louisiana. I was here for
For
Festival International or something.
Yeah.
And I just came back. I went back to Colorado and I wrote this song. And it has some Louisiana stuff in it.
All right.
So, yeah, check it out.
So this is Out In It.
Out In It.
Road. I've been opening and wishing for somebody to hold, and it was you.
All right. That was Out In It, and this is The Exchange. And my guest today in the studio, Matt Thornton and Papa Puff Nizat. And that was an original piece, again, written by Matt. Great energy you have in,
thank you,
in what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
I'm curious because we want to get some more cuts in here. But first of all, in terms of just musically, Papa, what's it like for you to be back in Louisiana?
Oh, it's, I mean, come on. We live in a place that people travel from all around the world just to come here and get a flavor and a taste of what we do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So it's awesome to be home.
Yeah.
It's awesome to be playing music here again. And although a lot of us complain that it's hard to make a living in Acadiana playing, we're able to leave Acadiana and make a very good living.
Yeah.
Try making a living in
Rollins,
Wyoming.
Yeah. Well, how about for you, though, Matt? You know, moving here now and as a musician,
yeah,
what's it like for you to be living in this area?
It's overwhelmingly great. I love it. My wife loves it. We both, I mean, it's just amazing. The people that I've met. Through,
they bought a house.
The people that I've met through Dave, all these people, Corey Dublachan, Chris French, you know, Chris Stafford, all these people that just helped out just out of the kindness of their hearts, you know, like,
yeah,
and just really good people. And just, it's been amazing. It's just been an overwhelming, amazing experience. And I love it. And the part of about being here too is just geographically, it's such a amazingly different place to play, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we play in Colorado. We played, our first show would be in Denver for an hour away. And then our second show would be 9 hours away in Kansas.
No population.
And then the next show after that is another 9 hours away.
Or within the same state.
Even the same state.
You go Durango 9 hours, was 9 hours.
To Durango or to, you know, so geographically speaking, there's, I mean, 6 hours I'm in Houston, 9 hours I'm in the ocean on the other side.
Yeah.
Three hours Houston,
Austin, you know.
Yeah.
We used to drive to Austin and it would take us 20-some hours to get there, you know, to play the first show or whatever.
And it's just a rich area if you're any kind of artist.
Right. And it's been overwhelmingly great. And I thank everyone for helping out. And I thank
the beauty of Acadiana, though, coming home
as
an older adult, as a player, it's always had this really cool dynamic to it where you had the very regimented, strict, conservative, you know, Louisiana. And mm-hmm. then there's always been that artist community that underlaid everything.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see those dynamics come together. And another thing is I don't know many other places that you go and you could see a 90-year-old person dancing and throwing down just as much as the 21-year-old.
Right. That's right.
And in some cases, the 18-year-old that got in. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know of any other community that you could really, and religiously, on a nightly basis, see them partying as hard, dancing as hard, sweating as hard, loving it.
And playing music together, too, those age ranges. You know,
that's
true. I just think a lot, too, when you even like go to jam sessions or whatever.
Sure.
It's
great.
You see that
for sure.
6-year-old, and then you've got a, you know.
Right. It's an incredible support structure that is here, and that, and that, you know, is that, I mean, really doesn't exist in a lot of other places, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's, I want to pick out another one here. I'm going to let you guys.
Yeah, let's do Prohibition, I think, would be a good another, because every song is completely different than the first one.
Right.
Tell us about, you wrote that, Matt.
Prohibition, I wrote during, it was after the Motorhome days, and I remember writing this song, and I remember it was the only one I've ever actually done research on the internet for. I had the idea of the song in my head. I had a, kind of like what I wanted to do, and I needed a couple good.
Was it like research about during the times of Prohibition?
Right, So the whole thing is about the times of Prohibition, and
John Hinn, what's his name?
There was
Henry?
A
no, John Barley? No.
No, it's in John. The song. You're going to have to listen to the song.
We'll get, he doesn't remember the guy's name.
I did the research, and now the research is done, and I don't want to do it anymore. No, just kidding. There's a – what's the –
we'll listen to the song and we'll
find out. We'll find out afterwards. I'll tell you afterwards. How about
all
that?
All right. This is a Prohibition. Prohibition.
A little bit different.
So that actually started Carrie Nation is
Wait, is that who you're trying to think of the name?
Yes.
I thought you said a guy.
Well, Wayne Wheeler was one of the people that I got. Wayne Wheeler was the guy. He was the big politic guy that went and got the Prohibition like enacted.
Got it. Okay.
Carrie Nation.
Yeah.
I found her name through a movie called
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
If you ever seen this movie, it's
Ebert.
One of the great Roger Ebert, great movie of all times,
yeah.
right? And there's a band in there called the Carrie Nations, and I really wanted to name my band the Carrie Nations after I watched it, but I couldn't. But anyway, Carrie Nation was a lady back in the day that would actually go into bars and chop them up with a hatchet, and so you couldn't go drinking them anymore.
That's right.
So that was part of the thing, and that was the original idea of the song, was that like whole that Carrie Nation. There was a lady that actually went into bars and chopped them with a hatchet. Like, that's awesome,
yeah.
Right? Isn't that amazing? And so like that's the original. That's where the idea came from. And then so I looked up and I found out about Wayne Wheeler, who would go to the Congress and did all this stuff to get Prohibition enacted. So, yeah.
Yeah, very nice. So who else playing on that one now?
Chris French on upright bass. Mm-hmm. Justin Lewis on the telly.
I'm playing guitar and drums. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. You may not know this yet, But would you so the band Double Wide, that band name, would you keep that with if it's more than just the two of you?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We're a duo, and then we'll have beautiful.
Because that's a good. It's a good name.
Pleasant guests, and the thing about having guests like that is, we can't first of all afford all our friends that play music because they're way too good and expensive, probably. And secondly, they're all really busy, and we wouldn't be able to get them in the band. But we all have occasional weeks off or weekends off, so the dynamic of what you're going to see when you come see it live, and if we do actually have guests, we're going to really do this duo thing hardcore.
Do you have a time frame?
We weren't supposed to be here, Cheryl.
Yes,
so
I know. So let's take the next step.
And we're just going to stop, listen, and respond, which is my whole life motto. Stop, listen, and respond. Just put it out and go with it. So we'll see what happens. I mean, we have a lot coming up with the Mercy Brothers. This band has done phenomenally well in a very short amount of time, and we have some really great things coming up, and they're really cool group of guys to play with, and we're going to work around it, but this is always going to be our thing, we this may be the Monday, Tuesday night, Wednesday night band,
exactly,
which could be fun too.
Now, and I want to go back to, because I kind of asked this question earlier, but I don't, the songs that are coming out in this right now, that are coming out of your brain.
Right.
And from what the two of you have done together in the past, though, does it feel different, or is it just like a continuation?
It's just always
it's just
the
a
same.
Continuation.
He showed up the other day at practice with three songs that blows all of these away.
It's a pretty good one.
I can't keep up with that one. That one is really good. I thought it was, who did I say it was? Steve Earle. Right. I was like, is that a Steve Earle tune? He's like, no, man, I wrote that. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It's insane.
That's a nice gift to have.
He's forgotten more great tunes than most people have written.
So what do you do when you're at work and something comes to you? Do you do the whole into a phone thing? What do you do?
I usually write. I don't have the phone.
He has a flip phone.
Yeah.
I don't do the phone. I'll write
See,
it on.
See, you know what I said about Dave Trainer? That's Dave Trainer.
I'll write it on, like, I've had stuff written on McDonald's bags. I have stuff written
on. Yeah, so that's what you do. That's how you.
I just write it down. Yeah.
Yeah, because the way listening to you guys talk, it just sounds like it's
and
coming
I don't,
out of you all the time.
It does.
I don't know
it
where,
does.
Like, that's the thing. I don't know where songs, like, I don't know where they come from, you know?
Yeah.
And the more – it seems like the more I work on stuff. Like Cal, I remember I was working – I used to do drywall. I used to finish drywall.
Yeah.
And I was finishing drywall, and I wrote that whole song while I was finishing a house.
Yeah.
You know, and like it's – I don't know. It's one of those things too. Like even when painting or drawing or, you know, writing a song, you get your mindset into this place. And I don't know how it go. I wish I could get there like that, but I can't. Like, I have to be – I'm one of those guys that have to – I'm always doing something with my hands, and then when I'm doing something, that's when something, like, opens up and, like, I can – it comes out. And then
so
I
will you stop, play. Like, mid-painting and go pick up your guitar? I mean, I'm wondering about that creative process for you, you know, that if
– No, usually not. Usually not. I'll write down ideas, but I won't stop doing the one thing, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm in one thing, I won't stop doing, you know. Or vice versa, you know, I'm going to be playing guitar and then go, oh, I'm going to go paint now or whatever, you know. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just, and I know you've doing some shows in terms of your visual art with Michelle Fontenot.
Yeah.
And we all, you know.
We love Michelle Fontenot.
We do. And you can check out, I know on her, she's got a Facebook, and see what kind of things that you guys might have coming up together here down the road.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
But I do think about that. Somebody who's got both of those artistic talents very strongly, you know, that how do you not, you know, because for you it just seems like the music and the songs are coming out of you all the time.
Right.
And how does that shut? And maybe doesn't shut down.
That doesn't ever shut down. Yeah. And then like the visual art, it's like I have to actually physically make time to do that.
Yeah.
Like I have to physically say, okay, I'm gonna paint. I'll tell my wife, look, I'm going in my room.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. I have to physically – to do that, I have to actually physically make time to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, let's we're going to listen to, you've got another song on here, Back Door.
Yeah, we're going to, it's a ballad about being on the road.
Yeah, I wrote this about being on the road, and this is the one Johnny Hickman actually plays.
From the great band Cracker.
Plays harmonica on this
track. All right, let's listen to this Back Door.
The back door is open. The lights are all down. There's nobody screaming. 'Cause they've all gone home. Beers that quit pouring. Out of their spine.
That was Back Door. That was Matt Thornton on vocals and guitar.
Yes.
I want everybody to keep in mind, listen for the band Double Wide. We're not sure when they're going to be around, but
we're keep coming.
They're coming. And meanwhile, you can catch my guests, Papa Puff, Nizat, and Matt Thornton, also as that strong rhythm section with the Mercy Brothers, which are actually all around these days. I want to thank you guys for coming on. This has been great.
Yeah, thank you
thanks
very much for
your
having
support
us.
And
yeah.
Thanks for putting that
up. Really appreciate
the rear
yeah,
end.
Yeah,
to get
there
us
you
to
go.
Do.
Yeah. I enjoy hearing the music. We're going to go out. We're getting short on time here. So everybody have a good week. We're going to go out on the tune My Bud. And right. It's been Matt Thornton and Papa Puff Nizat. Have a good week, everyone.
Thank you.
I like it better than sweet tea. I like it better than whiskey. I like it better than all the crazy things that make a boy go wild. I like it better than cocaine. I like it better than a slow brain. I like it better than fancy cars or hand-roll-keeping cigars. Cause I've done everything in this land. But nothing feels quite as good as a fertilizer in my hand. I like it better than
stamped into the world of jazz. I'm DeJama Gagne, the host of Passport to Modern Jazz. Tuesdays at 10 p.m., I'm going to walk you through the gate and into the world of current jazz, back to New Orleans jazz earliest recordings, and won't leave out the Hammond B3.